Think about this for a second. Have you ever had an experience with a company that was so bad that you swore you would never give them another piece of business so long as you both shall live? What about the flip side? Have you ever had a restaurant or a hotel that treated you so well that you would never even think about going somewhere else? Now how about the middle ground, where things are good enough, but you wouldn't go out of your way to give your hard-earned cash to that company? Every single day, with every single interaction people have with your company, they are deciding where along that scale you will fall. With exceptional service, exceptional profit, you'll learn how loyal customers have made all the difference for the companies that the authors have been involved in, like the Ritz-Carlton, Bugatti, Walt Disney, and Oasis Disc. The magic, the authors say, is when you, your systems, and your employees anticipate the needs of your customers and respond to them before they even realize that there's a need. Come along with us on this journey and you'll learn how to turn exceptional service into exceptional profit. The four elements of a satisfied customer. Of course, jumping right to the tools and techniques of world-class service organizations without first covering the fundamentals would be like deciding what color you wanted the drapes when the house was on fire. Here are the foundation elements you need before you graduate to the advanced course. First, you need a perfect product. A perfect product doesn't mean that it has to be free of defects 100% of the time. It just has to function properly within foreseeable boundaries. For instance, having a phone that drops calls when you hold it in a normal fashion would not fit this bill. iPhone 4. Note, some companies, like Apple, seem to be able to escape even this requirement because as we speak, I know somebody who is sleeping outside of an Apple store on a workday in order to get the iPhone 4 on its first day of availability here in Canada. Secondly, you need to have a service delivered by caring people. This one is pretty much straightforward. If your people don't care about your customers, well, you lose. And third, the service needs to be delivered in a timely fashion. The trick here is that to understand what your customers think is timely is more important than what you think timely is. For some people, waiting a week for an answer from a lawyer would seem like an eternity. But if you ask the lawyer who did the work, it was a rush job. The only opinion that counts, though, is that of the customer. Lastly, you need an effective problem resolution process. You're going to screw things up. If you haven't yet, well, congratulations, you're probably also walking water. But understanding exactly what to do when you drop the ball is critical to your success. Let's talk about this one in more detail. Turning service failures around. First of all, service failures happen. The good news is, if you fix it properly, you'll be better off on the other side than if the problem had never even occurred at all. Why? Because until the problem occurs, the customer hasn't had the opportunity to see you step up to the plate in a big way. This is the first opportunity you have to create a loyal customer for life. Do the math on what a lifetime customer would be worth to you, and you'll quickly see why any effort here far outweighs the costs. So what should you do in order to turn things around? How about using the Italian mama method? Consider what an Italian mama would do if one of her precious toddlers took a tumble. Oh, my darling, look at what happened. Oh, you skinned your knee and then walk away, my bambino. Let me kiss that terrible wound. Shall we watch a little TV? And here's a lollipop for you while I bandage you up. Okay, so maybe not exactly like that, but you get the picture. But notice one thing. There was no talk of what the child did wrong or what they can do the next time to avoid the situation. All that's there is making the child feel better. Here are the four steps you can take to make the Italian mama method work for you. Number one, apologize and ask for forgiveness in a personal and non-mechanical way. Don't use crap like, we're sorry for any inconvenience this has caused, or tell the customer something that they could have done differently. Apologize like a human being. For extra points, amplify the whole ordeal like the Italian mama would do. Make a big deal out of the situation. Remember, you're trying to leave this person with the impression of what it's going to be like next time something goes wrong. So make it count. Number two, get over the complaint. Simply review what the issue is with the customer so you understand what happened. Sometimes, customers do stupid things like not plugging something in or forgetting to hit the on switch. Don't, under any circumstances, ask people questions like, did you plug it in? I dare you to listen to that question from somebody when you're already in an agitated state of mind and not have the urge to punch them in the face. Rephrase those questions to something less irritating, like, sometimes the wall connection is loose and can't connect. Can you check the outlet and see if that's the case? Number 3, fix the problem and then follow up. Following up is critical to close the loop. Do it immediately, especially when you've handed the problem to somebody else in the organization. And finally, number 4, document the solution so that the mistake only happens once. As the authors note, a mistake that happens twice should be assumed to be the fault of the process. Fix things once and make sure you have the mechanisms in place so that it doesn't happen again. Okay, we figured out how to get a satisfied customer. Now let's ramp it up a notch or two and figure out how to create raving fans that spend money with us for life. Building anticipation into the system. When we're talking about anticipatory service, individualized service is the name of the game. You'll need to ensure that all of your employees are able to do this, no matter how briefly they've been with your company or how poor their memories are. This means you need to build a system. Here are the 7 principles that should guide you in building that system. Number 1, keep the system simple. Don't track too much stuff, and make sure that the things that you do track are at the fingertips of your frontline staff. For instance, if the last time Mr. Smith stayed at your hotel, he specifically asked for extra pillows in his room, make sure that when he checks in the next time that those pillows are already there. When the Ritz first launched the system, they gave their team the goal of noting 5 preferences and to satisfy 3 of them. That's enough. Number 2, if it's important to your customer, it belongs in the system. Product or service preferences, stated or observed, belong in the system. Personal ties to your establishment belong in the system. And then, anything the customer tells you is important to them goes in the system. Number 3, the information needs to be available in real time. If you aren't able to respond in real time, your entire organization won't be connected to the critical data it needs in order to anticipate customers' needs. Number 4, customers' preferences change. Customer preferences change over time. For instance, just because I ordered a vodka martini at dinner last night doesn't mean I want the same thing the next night, so don't bring it to me without asking. Don't make assumptions about things where the preference could change. Number 5, moods change. Track them. Understanding how satisfied your customers are over time is critical to ensuring customer loyalty. Number 6, don't blow it with wooden delivery. I had the misfortune of being greeted by a rental car agent in Florida who did just that. She was saying all the right things, like, it's been a pleasure to serve you today, but the entire time I was at the desk, all I could think in my head was, you are such a liar. Number 7, be careful when using technology to ask for permission. There's a fine line between clever and creepy. Don't ask for personal and private information online. Selecting the right people to execute the system. We've covered how to create a satisfied customer, how to turn service failures around, and then how to put anticipatory service into action with a system. Executing this system, however, requires a talented and dedicated staff. How you select them, how you orient them, and how you train them to your culture is critical to your success. One important thing to keep in mind is that, with few exceptions, we are already our true selves by the time we enter the workforce. That lady at the car rental company that clearly didn't care about her job? Well, she's been like that for some time, and no amount of training or orientation is going to change her. Don't hire those type of people in the first place. What should you hire? Although every business is different, here are the top 5 traits that the authors have found to be the most important in creating anticipatory service. Number 1, genuine personal warmth. You can only fake this for so long, so make sure you're hiring people who radiate personal warmth. Number 2, empathic skill. You need to have employees who can empathize with your customers, especially when things go wrong. If a customer's having a bad day, you'll need an employee who can remember what it's like to have a bad day and then treat them accordingly. Number 3, an optimistic, upbeat attitude. Those who are pessimists need not apply. Keep in mind that in some positions, excessive optimism can be dangerous, like a financial forecaster, for instance. But in service positions, you want this trait in spades. Number 5, a team orientation. This one's pretty straightforward. Anybody who utters the words, "That's not my job," is not fit for a service role. And number 5, conscientiousness. This trait is fairly broad, but in essence, what we're looking for here are people who are willing to work hard, be responsible, and make sure that the details get looked after. When you're trying to create exceptional service, the details matter. Make sure you have people who will take care of them. Before we wrap up this section, just a quick note about the orientation process. If you're truly creating an exceptional service environment, your new recruits won't be used to working in an environment like yours. You only get one chance to create a first impression, and your orientation process is going to set the tone for the length of their employment with you. Here's the important part. Don't use the orientation to train for skills. Use it to make sure they understand your core customer service principles, your company values, and how that employee is going to be an important part of your overall mission. Hello and goodbye. The two crucial moments. There's plenty of scientific research to show that human beings are very selective of what we store in our memories. The things that we typically store over anything else is the beginning and end of an experience. If we're in the business of creating great memories for our customers and clients, we are, then we do well to focus on creating a great hello and goodbye. When creating a great hello, here are a few things that stand out as most critical. First, it's a basic human need to be acknowledged. Don't believe me? Have you ever been to a coffee shop where you've waited at the counter and it took more than 10 seconds for somebody to acknowledge your presence? How did that feel? How you get acknowledged is important as well. Let's say you and I are friends, and we get together after we haven't seen each other for a few months. What if I greeted you like this? Hey, how's it going? How do you feel? What if instead I greeted you like this? Oh my God, it's been at least 2 months since I've seen you. How are you? How do you feel now? How you acknowledge a person sets the tone for the entire experience. Now for the goodbye. You've taken great pains to create an incredible customer experience throughout the process. It seems almost unfair that after all of that, one small mistake with the goodbye could taint the entire process, right? Well, here's what to do in order to get the most out of your goodbyes. First, personalize the goodbye with information about that particular customer. Second, make it resonate with something extra like a parting gift. Make sure that it's unexpected though. For instance, if you're in finance, it's customary to give your client an expensive pen to sign the deal. That's expected. Something unexpected would be perhaps it's a weekend getaway for your client and their spouse. Just after you do that something extra, invite your customer to come back and do business with you again. Third and lastly, make the goodbye long-lasting. Unless it's considered inappropriate, send a follow-up note thanking them for your business. As the authors say, this is the best $1 investment you will ever make. And that wraps up our summary of exceptional service, exceptional profit. And like our Italian mama would say, have an amazing week.